Hello, I'm Monica Reinagel, and you're listening to the Nutrition Diva podcast. Welcome. A curious listener who may or may not have been my scientist sister, hi Pam, recently forwarded me a headline that caught her attention. Eating vegetables does not protect against cardiovascular disease, finds large-scale study. I thought your readers might come across this and would want to hear your take, she wrote to me. At least I do. Now, just for context, this story was not on some clickbait site, but on the blog of Frontiers. This is a respected science technology platform and publisher. And the headline does faithfully reflect the conclusion of the authors who found that higher vegetable consumption was not associated with a reduced risk of heart disease or overall mortality. This analysis was done on dietary and health records collected as part of the UK Biobank study, which involves almost 400,000 people. So these findings are correlations only. They do not prove cause and effect. However, the more expensive and difficult research that's needed to prove cause and effect often starts with exactly this type of observational finding. Now, interestingly, in this study, the authors looked at the effects of cooked and raw vegetables separately. Is one form more protective than the other? And they found that cooked vegetable consumption was not associated at all with cardiovascular disease or mortality, but that people who ate more raw vegetables were somewhat less likely to develop heart disease or die. Now, proponents of a raw diet might be tempted to seize on this as evidence that cooking destroys the healthful properties of foods and that raw foods are more nourishing. And I don't agree with this view. For one thing, raw vegetables can lose up to half of their original nutritional value simply by sitting on your counter for 2 days or even in your refrigerator for 2 weeks. Although cooking does involve some nutrient losses, a vegetable that's cooked on the day that it's harvested could end up retaining more nutrients than a raw vegetable that's been sitting around for a while. Furthermore, cooking actually makes some nutrients more absorbable. For example, the lycopene in cooked tomatoes is up to 4 times more bioavailable than that in fresh tomatoes. Nutrients are also lost when foods are dehydrated, frozen, soaked, or juiced. So when it comes to nutrient losses, unless you can arrange to eat every meal in the field where it was grown, it's all sort of relative. And even though nutrients do get lost, don't worry because there are still plenty left in those vegetables. In my opinion, the biggest nutritional advantage of a raw food diet isn't the enzymes or the extra nutrients that you might glean by not cooking your vegetables. Rather, it's the fact that a raw food diet contains no fried foods and no baked goods, no partially hydrogenated fats, no refined flour, no Twinkies, no potato chips. A raw food diet is going to be rich in minimally processed fruits, vegetables, nuts, seeds, and devoid of virtually all junk and processed foods. Okay, that sounds pretty healthy, but you can achieve that without eschewing cooking. Besides, after finding a modest association between raw vegetable consumption and improved health outcomes, the researchers of this latest study then took into account confounding factors such as physical activity levels, body weight, age, smoking, drinking, use of supplements, and other dietary factors. And once they adjusted for all of that, the raw food advantage pretty much disappeared. Residual confounding, they concluded, is likely to account for much, if not all, of the observed associations. So, bottom line, neither raw, cooked, nor total vegetable consumption appeared to reduce the risk of heart disease in any meaningful way. But before you cross eat your vegetables off your to-do list, I want to take a closer look at just how many vegetables these participants were eating. Remember that our goal is to be eating 5 servings, that's around 2.5 cups, of vegetables every day. The consumption of vegetables among participants in this study, however, is so low that it's not measured in cups or even fractions of cups. It's measured in tablespoons. And for our metric-minded listeners, a tablespoon is equal to 15 milliliters. So the average daily consumption among the Biobank UK subjects is 2.8 tablespoons of cooked vegetables and 2.3 tablespoons of raw vegetables. That adds up to significantly less than a single serving of vegetables a day. Now, for the purposes of their analysis, the researchers divided the subjects into four categories of vegetable consumption. The lowest vegetable consumers ate 0 to 1 tablespoons of vegetables a day, and the highest vegetable consumers ate at least 8 tablespoons a day. And they then compared the highest group to the lowest group, and they saw little to no difference between them. I shared these details with my sister, who designs statistical analyses for a living, and she wrote back that an equally accurate headline would have been, "Eating a negligible amount of vegetables is not detectably better than eating none at all." Exactly. And if you think this might give you a tiny little peek into what conversation around my family's Thanksgiving dinner table is like, you are correct about that. So, would eating 5 servings of vegetables a day, or even 2 or 3 servings, make a difference in your heart health? Well, this study can't answer that question, but other studies have. As the authors write, there exists a large body of research evidence to suggest that a high vegetable intake may protect against a wide range of health outcomes, including cardiovascular disease. And given the very low vegetable consumption in this population, I'm not even sure that this study succeeds in answering the actual question that they set out to ask, which was whether raw vegetables are more or less heart protective than cooked vegetables. Finally, it's worth pointing out that the putative benefits of vegetable consumption are far broader than just their effect on cardiovascular disease. Higher vegetable consumption, and by higher, I mean something closer to the recommended 5 servings a day, is associated with high overall diet quality, reduced risk of cancer, dementia, overweight, and obesity, and all-cause mortality. And that's one of the reasons that eating 5 servings of vegetables is one of the key health habits tracked in the Nutrition GPA app. If you haven't checked it out yet, the Nutrition GPA is a free smartphone app that I created to help my own clients track and upgrade their nutrition. And while they may not get 5 servings every single day, Nutrition GPA users do eat about 5 times more vegetables than the average American adult. And you can find the Nutrition GPA in both the Apple and Google app stores. Check it out. I want to thank my sister Pam for forwarding this study and giving me an opportunity to do 2 of my very favorite things. Number 1, dig a little deeper into sensational health headlines. And number 2, nag you to eat more vegetables. If you have a study or a headline that you'd like me to unpack in a future episode, email it to me at nutrition@quickanddirtytips.com. And don't forget to include a link to your headline or your study so that I can track it down. I'd also like to invite you to check out my other podcast with Brock Armstrong. It's called The Change Academy, and we talk about the art and science of behavior change. You'll find that wherever you listen. Nutrition Diva is a Quick and Dirty Tips podcast. It's audio engineered by Nathan Semmes with script editing by Adam Cecil. Our marketing and publicity assistant is Davina Tomlin. Morgan Christensen is our podcast and advertising operations specialist, and our intern is Brendan Pika. This is Monica Reinagle. Thanks so much for listening. I'll see you next week. And remember to eat something good for me.